Welcome, everyone, to the Deep Dive, and a big welcome to all you truth seekers joining us.
Yes, welcome. We're looking today at a collection of sources presented as the Truth Seeker Weekly Briefing on Mainstream Media News, compiled on behalf of the Great Awakening Report.
That's right. We've got quite a stack this week. Reports, briefings, analyses, they definitely challenge the standard narrative.
And just to be clear up front, our job today isn't about endorsing any single view. We're here to analyze the featured news stories from the week of October 17th. The sources themselves, while they claim this, shows how control narratives rapidly unravel while a bigger truth surges.
Exactly. We want to pull out the facts, look at the events, and then explore the framework these sources put around them. It's about helping you cultivate, you know, grounded critical thinking.
Seeing the bigger picture, maybe recognizing patterns others miss.
Right. Discerning the narratives at play. The analysis we're looking at today really pushes us beyond, let's say, standard reporting. It urges a shift from purely mind-centered logic to heart-centered consciousness.
Interesting framing.
So let's start with what the sources call institutional fractures. Because honestly, the legal and government turmoil hitting the headlines this week, it's quite striking.
It really is. And nothing screams institutional stress quite like the indictment of a former national security advisor, John Bolton. I mean, this case is huge, whatever the outcome.
Okay, let's dig into the facts of the indictment itself. So October 16th, a federal grand jury in Maryland indicts Bolton. We're talking 18 criminal counts under the Espionage Act.
18 counts. That's 8 for transmission, 10 for retention of national defense information.
That is. Well, it's definitely not a charge you see every day. Heavy stuff.
And the specifics alleged are pretty crucial. They're saying that between 2018 and 2019, Bolton apparently used personal accounts.
Personal accounts.
Yeah. To share over 1,000 pages of notes, kind of diary style, with relatives.
1,000 pages. Wow. And what was supposedly in them?
Reportedly, top secret intelligence. Details on foreign adversary plans, sources, methods, you know, the really sensitive stuff.
Right.
And significantly, federal agents apparently seized materials from his office labeled Trump IV. That seems to suggest a paper trail linking directly back to his White House days.
Now, Bolton's denying it all, right? Claims it's politically motivated.
He does. Which, of course, sets up this massive legal fight. DOJ Attorney General Pamela Bondi came out affirming the government's duty to protect classified info.
So what's the bigger picture here, legally speaking? This involves really sensitive material.
Exactly. It means we're probably looking at long, drawn-out court battles over classification, protection, proving intent, all of that.
Which is precisely what these sources jump on, isn't it?
It is. They argue this case, however you view it, justified or political way, it echoes other big prosecutions from the Trump era. The whole fight over intent, over what the executive can classify or keep. It potentially expands executive power during a crisis.
Setting precedents.
That's the claim. Creating precedent for more executive discretion.
And this legal drama is unfolding right alongside a huge structural breakdown, the U.S. government shutdown, that just keeps dragging on.
That's right. At the time these reports came out, it was already over 2 weeks. Started October 1st. And the Senate just failed, what, for the 10th time?
Yeah.
To pass even a short-term funding bill? It looks like total gridlock.
And the impact is hitting almost 2 million people hard. Something like 900,000 federal workers furloughed, another 700,000 working but not getting paid.
It's severe. And the core issue isn't just the budget numbers. It's these policy writers.
Yeah.
Senate Democrats are digging in, saying any funding bill has to extend health insurance subsidies under the ACA.
The Affordable Care Act. And Republicans are just refusing to attach that to a spending bill.
Correct. Total impasse. And we even saw the courts jump in. A federal judge actually blocked the administration from firing over 4,000 federal workers during the shutdown.
So even the basic mechanics of managing the workforce are under strain.
Seems like it. Yeah.
Now, the analysis we're looking at today connects these two things, the indictment and the shutdown, in a pretty dramatic way. The source actually calls this controlled demolition. That's a huge claim.
It is a huge claim.
Yeah. How do they link a specific legal case like Bolton's to this, you know, messy budget fight? Aren't they just separate bits of Washington being dysfunctional?
Well, the reports argue they're linked by their outcome. They claim both situations are creating these precedents for more executive power, more discretion.
Okay.
The idea is that these institutional fractures aren't just random noise. They're kind of a testing ground for new ways to manage crises. The source suggests this architecture of temporary emergency powers is actually solidifying, becoming permanent through crises like these.
So practically speaking, what does the source say we should be watching for? What's the indicator?
They say the key thing to track is whether selective prosecutions, like Bolton's perhaps, start happening at the same time as shutdown extensions. If the government stays closed longer while these big legal fights heat up,
then they see that as evidence of something more coordinated, not just politics as usual.
Exactly. That's the indicator they point to. Coordinated restructuring versus just partisan squabbling.
Okay. So that covers the political instability here on Earth. But the analysis we reviewed argues this chaos isn't just down here. They actually suggest we need to look up at the sun.
Yeah, they say the sun is refusing to stick to the script, refusing to be quiet, and it's somehow mirroring the instability down here.
It sounds a bit out there, but the space weather stuff is real. We've got this large coronal hole, right, sending a fast stream of solar wind our way.
Mm-hmm. Potential for a G1, maybe G2 geomagnetic disturbance. What's really interesting, though, is that NASA data seems to contradict the predictions. Everyone expected a solar quiet period.
But it's not happening.
Nope. Solar activity is actually ramping up unexpectedly. More flares, more CMEs, coronal mass ejections.
And there's this new risk factor scientists found. Something about flux ropes?
Yes, magnetic flux ropes. They're forming much farther from the sun than expected. These are like twisted magnetic structures.
Okay.
And they can essentially channel and amplify energy from solar eruptions.
Yes.
Makes them much more geo-effective, meaning more likely to impact Earth than the old models predicted.
So that's why people are watching the K-index closely.
Precisely. The K-index measures planetary geomagnetic activity. The source highlights that if the KK index, that's the planetary one, gets above 6, we could be looking at serious infrastructure problems, maybe even catastrophic.
And the analysis draws a direct line here. It argues the sun's behavior, its magnetic volatility, mirrors the instability in our own political and economic systems. They actually say planetary energy mirrors consciousness.
Which brings us right back to infrastructure vulnerability. These reports emphasize that energy grids, communication networks, they're the frontline infrastructure in the global reset.
Meaning
watching those geomagnetic indices, especially KP above 6, and looking for any weird data center anomalies, that becomes really critical for gauging global fragility.
Speaking of data anomalies, let's shift to the global economy. It's volatile, and the source says it's wrapped in a kind of data fog.
Yeah, data fog is their term. We know corporate earnings are key right now.
Mm.
Tesla, IBM, Netflix are reporting. But the fog part comes from the shutdown.
How so?
Because key U.S. economic data, especially the consumer price index,
yeah,
the main inflation measure, it's been delayed by the shutdown.
Ah, so without those official numbers,
Wall Street is basically flying blind. They have to rely much more heavily on what companies say themselves, plus other informal signals.
And the analysis puts a pretty pointed spin on this uncertainty. They claim data blackouts equal narrative control. The suggestion is this information vacuum isn't accidental, it's being used.
Right. They argue that when you don't have official truth, it actually creates space, maybe even justification, for using emergency financial tools.
Okay, so what should people look out for then? What's the warning sign?
The reports tell you to watch for stealth liquidity injections or backdoor QE. QE is quantitative easing, basically central banks pumping money into the system.
Right.
If that starts happening quietly, maybe alongside talk of cutting interest rates during this data blackout,
yeah,
the source sees that as a sign of hidden crisis management going on.
That economic uncertainty flows very neatly into our last big theme, geopolitics. Specifically, what the source calls the new mercantilism and the U.S. warnings about China's new export controls.
This is potentially a huge shift in the global economy. Beijing rolled out a new export licensing system for rare earths and other critical minerals.
How does it work?
It's pretty aggressive. Exporters now need a license even if their products contain just trace amounts of materials that originated in China.
Trace amounts? That sounds difficult to manage.
Exactly. Basically, flips the burden of compliance and potential legal issues onto foreign companies almost overnight.
And the U.S. reaction has been strong.
Very. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, Trade Rep Jamison Greer, they warned this could force a real global decoupling. And President Trump has threatened countermeasures, including potentially 100% tariffs on Chinese goods, if these controls really bite.
Why are rare earths so critical here? What's the leverage?
It's China's dominance in processing them and in making magnets from them. That gives Beijing what the source calls asymmetric leverage over industries vital to the modern world, semiconductors, defense tech, green energy. You name it.
So they're essentially weaponizing the building blocks of modern tech.
That's the argument. They're weaponizing civilization's most critical mineral inputs.
And the source's big conclusion here is, this isn't just about trade fights or tariffs anymore.
No. They say it's fundamentally about controlling civilization's essential inputs, energy, data, and materials. They actually call this the supply chain Cold War.
So tying it all together, we've covered the Bolton indictment, the shutdown, the solar flares, the market fog, the trade wars. How does the source connect all these seemingly separate dots?
Well, the core argument is that while mainstream news might treat these as isolated events, the perspective we're examining sees them as interconnected, either highly coordinated or at least symptoms of the same underlying current.
And that current is
the battle to define reality, as they put it. Whether it's through holding back economic data, launching selective prosecutions, or using trade policy as a weapon, it's about controlling the narrative, perception management.
So the real fight, according to this analysis, is truth versus narrative. And they end with this idea that awareness itself is resistance.
Yeah. Essentially, these sources are suggesting that the simultaneous crises, institutional, economic, geopolitical, persuasion, they aren't just random noise. They're threads in a single narrative that's maybe starting to unravel.
Okay, let's quickly recap the core themes the sources want us to take away from all this. First, crisis is the crucible through which new systems are forged.
Second, rare earths are the new oil. Whoever controls them controls the future.
And third, narrative is the final frontier of sovereignty. Guard your discernment. Be aware of the stories being told.
And finally, they give us some specific warning signs to track, indicators of what they call a potential crisis cascade. Three key things to watch.
Okay, what are they?
One, does the shutdown last past October 20th? They see that date as a threshold where the odds of a deeper structural crisis go way up.
Got it. Number two.
Two, does the solar KP index go above 7? If it hits that level, infrastructure vulnerability becomes a very real, very physical front page kind of problem.
And the third.
The tariff implementation date.
Yeah.
If those threatened 100% tariffs on Chinese goods actually take effect on November 1st, expect a massive immediate supply shock.
Okay. Shutdown past the 20th, KP index over 7, and tariffs kicking in November 1st. Those are the markers.
Those are the key ones they flag.
All right. The sources leave us with one last thought, trying to connect the cosmic and the earthly, you could say. It's the sun mirrors consciousness, disruption above, awakening below.
It's provocative.
It is.
Yeah.
Given everything we've discussed, the market jitters, the political cracks, this big solar storm brewing, it makes you wonder, doesn't it? Are we maybe seeing some kind of internal shift, an energetic one maybe, happening within us that's just as powerful as these external disruptions?
Something deep stirring, perhaps.
Perhaps. Definitely something for all of you to think about as you navigate the information flow this week. Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive.